This is the Brad Gilmore Show on demand.
What's going on, y'all? This is DJ DMD, and y'all are checking out the Brad Gilmore Show on demand right here.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Easy, the Southeast Beast, and make sure you tune in to the Brad Gilmore Show.
WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. Can you get that, sucker?
On demand.
On demand.
On demand.
Please welcome your hosts, Brad Gilmore, Ashley Imani, and DJ Motai.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show
on demand.
That's right, on demand. We're back with a great, great episode for you. And you know what? Since we're so honest to y'all all the time, we're going to continue being honest. This is actually our second time doing the intro for the show today. We nailed it perfectly. We recorded the whole show amazingly, done,
yes,
hour exactly, to the millisecond. And then when I'm exporting it while we're still here in the studio, the sumbitch disappears.
The computer was hating.
The computer was hating, and it was a great, great intro. We talked about all kinds of stuff, but let me start from the top. I want to introduce my co-hosts. Starting with the Pan Fry DJ. You can see him every Monday night at the Debonair Lounge and at venues across this great nation. You can see him, follow him on Twitter and Instagram at DJ Motai. He is DJ Motai.
DJ Motai.
Pan Fry DJ.
How you doing, man?
Building.
I'm hungry.
You're hungry?
I'm hungry. Let's finish recording the second intro and let's go eat. Well, I mean, I don't know if you ate.
I'm hungry.
All right, me, you can go eat.
Y'all go eat. Y'all don't invite me again like Monty didn't invite us to her karaoke night.
It was not my karaoke night.
It's so messed up. Monty doesn't doesn't show up to last week's show after we talked about if you're going to call me from an unknown number, you got to text me, you got to leave a voicemail, you can't call me 8 times in a row.
No show on Monday.
Who doesn't answer their phone after someone's called them 8 times in a row?
Because I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are.
You don't have that many stalkers, Brad. You're not
Brad,
that important.
Brad is Hollywood.
Whoa, you're not that important.
Excuse me.
Brad Gilmore's Hollywood.
I'm on the Reality of Wrestling airing on the Cube and Soul of the South weekly, all right? I'm on television like 5 times a week,
okay,
all right? Same episode, no less, but I digress.
Well, I mean, common sense should tell you, Monty's not answering her phone. It's going straight to voicemail. So maybe this is her trying to call me on a Monday morning, trying to figure out what time to be here.
I'm just saying, Monty.
You're
like,
supposed to be at 8.
And then, but after you called 8 times in a row, then you sent the text message. Why couldn't you send text after the first one, letting me
know
who you
are? I
really
honestly thought I did, but I was half asleep.
And
I asked David, I was like, did you delete the text message that I sent Brad? He's like, you never texted Brad.
Anyway, whatever. We have a great show for you today. We have part two with our interview with Key West, who came in last week, 979 The Box's own Key West. This week we talk about some really good questions, man, really good stuff. We talked about his view on 93.7 The Beat, what he thinks it means for 97.9 The Box. We talk about who his favorite and least favorite interviews are, and him just getting to know and learn the Houstonian culture. So a lot of good stuff from Key West this week. Part two of our interview. We also have the news where we're going over a rape case, a man who's wrongfully accused of rape, mascot changes just because they're racially insensitive to Native Americans. And we also talk about a new podcast or a rebranded podcast coming into the BG Show fold. A lot of good stuff. And we can't forget Motai.
Yeah, but Brad.
About the Debonair Lounge
tonight. Memorial Day.
May 26th. Today is Memorial Day. Good morning to you and to the people listening around the world. But it's a beautiful morning here in Houston, Texas. Fresh off of Comic Palooza fun I had. I'll tell y'all more about it next week when I can recap.
Are you guys going to any pool parties?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm a fan of the pool party. I'm going to be honest with you.
Why? Because your hair?
Yes.
No,
I don't want to
no,
get
no,
it
no,
wet.
No, no, no.
Because he doesn't have he doesn't have a hot bod.
Because he's
we understand.
Hey.
He's too bright.
Like I said before, Robin might be thick, but Brad Gilmore is long. Having said that, let's get into DJ Motai's Monday morning mix here on the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
Zilla, nigga.
Repeat. Hey. But your bitch love it, bitch love it. But your bitch love it, bitch love it. But your bitch love it, bitch love it, love it. But your bitch love it, bitch love it. He ain't really got no flow. But your bitch love it. He ain't really, really getting that down. But your bitch love it. Fool always thinking he gone. But your bitch love it. What you niggas really hate me for? Cause your bitch love it. If you a bad bra, you could come and rock with Stockzilla. Oldest fam, H-Town, them my niggas. If Bun B ain't say it, then you not Trilla. Cut the dude in the coupe, got a flat top too. Turn your boo bug to a bugaboo. They know us, they gotta ask about you. They know us, they gotta ask about you. You know half the like, long as your bitch love it. Switch the gold for the cold, got sick of it. They hate the rollie, but I swear that my wrist love it. When I stack mo chains, I'ma need six of them. Boys hug on they gun, cause they sick of them. We just pull up, son, make a bitch of them. Might even snatch one of them. She a little thick some. When you shine, this is what you get, son. Get some, look fly in that. If me no like it, then we fly you back. If she gon' pay attention, then you might have to buy your back. You dry hating, and I don't want no parts in that. You see, this bitch is vintage, is an artifact. I ain't stunning much, play a part in that. But if you ask me why I'm buying that, you should know my reply to that. It's cause your bitch love it. He ain't really got no flow.
Lady Dick's fast, what's
he
good?
He ain't really get
Lady
that down.
Famous, what's good?
But your bitch
love it. Famous,
always thinking he fall.
Vicious Fix is what's good.
But your bitch love it.
What
you
know is
really hate me for.
Yeah. Yeah.
But your bitch love it.
Okay, cool. Okay, fool. I love it.
But your bitch love it.
I'ma stay with you as I damn it, love
it. But your bitch love it.
I'ma call my poppies for her fucking mother.
But your bitch love it.
I bet them a Miley Nelly kiss the chill.
Every time I fuck, I gotta hit me at least like two bitches. Fuck so many hoes, I need some new bitches. These ain't no Levi's, bitch, these cost 260. He tryna set me up, his price is too shifty. I pull up in foreign, my bitch so bad, she look like she foreign. I throw her the keys, she know I can't drive, cause bitch, I got warrants. I'm back to the future like Marty McFly, just need a DeLorean. I prefer bitches with booty, cause most of the cuties be boring. They know that I'm rapping, but heard I be trapping. I put all my eggs in one little basket, and now that they hatching, I wait on my package and look at these niggas' reaction. What happened? What's popping? What's cracking? What's macking? These niggas acting. Nigga, I really be packing. Hustle hard, so I be stacking. Niggas talk shit, but don't be about no action. You already know it's 7-4 till I go. Fuck my old CEO, he ain't wanna see me blow. Used to be a gigolo, getting money off of hoes. Now a nigga on the road, getting money off of shows. Nigga don't like me, then I must fuck this bitch. Talking prices on the phone, nigga must be a snitch. Hit my birthday cash for a foreign life shirt. Put the pedal to the metal in the foreign mic. Skirt!
Okay, cool, okay, boo, I love her. I'ma save her, yes, I damn it, glove her. I'ma call my poppin' for her fucking mother. I bet them a million and they kiss each other.
Hot. Every time I fuck, I gotta hit me at least like two bitches. Fuck so many hoes, I need some new bitches. These ain't no Levi's, bitch, these cost 260. He tryna set me up, his price is too shifty.
Get up under my covers, baby. I just wanna let you, baby. Oh, you home for the summer, baby. On top, underneath, sip the drink, sex on the beach. Back from school, got something to teach. I learned it all, ain't nothing to me. I'ma hit it when you're home. I'ma miss it when you're gone. I'ma hit it when you're home. I'ma miss it when you're gone. I'ma hit it when you're home. I'ma miss it when you're gone. I'ma hit it when you're home. I'ma miss it when you're gone.
Sick girls been a whole damn year, what you acting all scared for? I wanna know what them cheese getting red for. Oh, so you don't like my new bed? It's been a while, so you think that we should talk more? Either way, my calendar say it's May, and we know damn well when we plan for the day. Body looking like food, and they call me Trey. I can bring that freshman 15, no way. Wait, let me stop, I ask you how school been. Or better yet, how your roommates doing? To be honest, girl, ever since you flew in, I had a motor to try to get you in. My bed, two people, four legs, my hands, your head. Oh, you got what I'm saying? Put your keys down, you know that you staying. Damn, girl, why's you playing? And I know your friends say I'm a player, but you a smart girl, I forgot at Baylor. And I ain't gonna act like you're doing me a favor, cause your body had me thinking that gym was your major, so scream out. Ooh, and a little bit of, ooh, and a whole lot of, just a little bit. Yeah, because
you want the summer, baby. Get up under my covers, baby. I just wanna love you, baby. Oh, you home for the summer, baby. On top, underneath, sip the drink, sex on the beach.
Yeah, I started at the bottom, never look back. Gang came on lock like cook crack. Grab around town pounds in the book bag. Bitch, nigga, you ain't hard, you just look mad. These niggas ain't about that, stop that. Refund on my roof, about the top back. Black strap, cock back, watch a pop that. Hop back like I'm able with your socks at. Keep a foot on they neck so they can't breathe. Yo, bitch, bless me and I ain't sneeze. If it ain't G, then it ain't me. If she ain't freak, then we can't be. Big body swang on you cause I'm that rude. Skinny nigga with a body full of tattoos. Still M.O.B. cause the cash rules. Grinding hard got me breathing like a fat dude. Damn. This my real life, no act, nigga. No made up shit, just facts, nigga. Black niggas make it hard for the black niggas. Real G's make it hard for you rap niggas. This me, miss me with the bullshit. Fuck you and whoever that you cool with. Stop talking about weight, you ain't move shit. You know what it is, I ain't gotta prove shit. I fucked up, still don't like her. She break bread, still won't wipe her. My shooters on point like snipers. I'm on my shit like diapers. Me and my burner be dolo. 3-3-J turn free lolo. Tell my uncle get away from the popos. Now he can't come to the house no more.
Rep your city, throw it up. Rep your hood, throw it up. Rep your set, throw it up. Rep your clique, throw it up. Rep your city, throw it up. Rep your hood, throw it up. Rep your set, throw it up. Rep your clique, throw it up. Throw it up, nigga. Throw it up,
throw it
nigga.
Up, let me see.
Throw it up, nigga. Throw it up,
throw it
nigga.
Up, let me see.
Throw it up, nigga. Throw it up,
throw it
nigga.
Up, let me see.
Throw it up, nigga. Throw it up, nigga.
Yeah, I'm the king of the streets and it ain't changed. Asshole by nature, nigga, same gang. Mister, I don't give a fuck, yup, same name. Chopper in the throwaway, all in your same frame. Boss nigga, but I'm still getting bread, bitch. Old pussy ass niggas ain't see shit. Green light eyes, send them at your head, bitch. Empty the clip, I ain't stopping till you're dead, bitch. I'm the bottom of the city, but niggas be playing gritty. But tell them I'm in the gutter with something carry a 50. They go to flying, that niggas ain't nothing about it pretty. But I ain't giving a fuck, motherfucker, if they offend me. Tell them I'm in this Bentley, some player, but tipping. You fuck around with the truth, and I bet you I go to tripping beat. Won't every one of them, none of them gon' be skipping. I do this for my dolls and my cuz, niggas who crib. Respect trade, the king with the best play. The heart of the city, I represent it for West State. Got it for real, so nigga, fuck with the next eight. I handle my business and then I'm on to the next play. Bow down, fuck nigga, I'm another level. I'ma 808, you pussy niggas only trouble. Real nigga, bitches digging me like I'm a shovel. Truth hot like I'm someone dancing with the devil.
And now the news with Ashley Imani.
And we're back here on the Brad Gilmore Show on demand.
On demand.
And you heard the jingle.
The jingle.
You heard it. Shout out to Daniel from Wrestling News Source for actually doing those voiceovers.
That was actually me.
That was actually Motai. I'm just giving someone else credit. So
credit for it.
Credit for it, too. But anyway, let's get into it right now. The news. All right. But hey, Monty, I got something I want to start it off with.
Okay.
Because this is bothering me. This is bothering me. Now, me and Motai, we met in high school. I'm talking like we're a couple.
Oh, man.
We met in high school.
High school sweethearts.
We're high school sweethearts.
Okay.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. But no, we met in high school at Marabu B. Lamar High School.
Is that how you say it?
Yes. How'd you say it? Marabou?
I just said Lamar.
You said Lamar. Okay.
One of my best friends
was Lamar. I forgot
about that. Okay. But we'll talk about that later.
We'll go. Well, yeah. We can save it. But it was always to me, my mother went to Lamar High School.
Whoa.
My
really?
Sister went to Lamar High School. I went to Lamar. And it's always been the home of the Redskins.
Redskins.
Right? The Lamar Redskins. I actually have a class ring from high school, right, that has, like, the Indian head with, like, the feather thing, you know, and all that.
Right.
And so, anyway, it came out recently, not too long ago, that Lamar was going to change their mascot because they feel, or I think HISD feels, that the Redskin is too racially insensitive to Native Americans. All right, now
look at Motai.
Native Americans, also known, I guess, derogatorily as Indians.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Obviously, we're the indigenous people of the United States of America, mm-hmm. and I felt it was an honor. We were honoring, you know, the roots of America by naming we're the Redskins. All right,
yeah,
we're
but
warriors.
Okay,
it wasn't a bad school.
Yeah,
but do you think that? I mean, Redskins, like that's
it's Redskins.
Kinda, but do they refer to themselves as Redskins?
I don't know. Maybe.
That's probably where the disrespect comes in.
Maybe it's a term of endearment.
It's like having a black guy as a mascot and calling him Brownskins.
But here's the thing. What if
Or Blackskins.
What if Native Americans refer to each other as Redskins as a term of endearment, much like the African Americans use the N-word?
But I don't think that Native Americans do that.
But do you know any Native Americans?
Yo, what's up, my Redskin?
They definitely don't Redskin? Do that. They definitely don't do that.
I got my Redskins here.
I don't. I personally don't know any Native American people.
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Do they call themselves Redskins?
Hey, baby, do you want a piece of my Redskin?
Oh, okay. But what happened now? HISD forced them to change their name. And here's the new name. The Lamar High School Redskins are now known as the Lamar High School Texans.
What?
Yeah. Ah! I'm sorry. That's hilarious.
That was so loud.
That was
so
very loud.
Squeal. So the Lamar. At first, I heard it was the Lamar Texians, but I've been corrected.
Texians?
As Lamar Texans, which I just think is so stupid. Lame. Let's see, if I had to change it, like, I actually
Who chose the name?
It's, I don't know, probably the principal.
What's his name again?
McSwain. But no knock to McSwain, but I'm saying I think the name Texans kind of sucks. You could have chose a million different things. I don't know if it's that racially insensitive.
Yeah.
Redskins. I don't think, I mean...
Well, I feel like
I feel like Texans are being compartmental. Oh, what's up, my Texan? You know what I'm talking about? Like, I don't like that either.
I feel like
derogatory.
Shouldn't they, what professional team is Redskins?
Washington.
Then they should have to change theirs too.
They've had a lot of controversy too with their names. I don't know. I just don't think. I mean, I think we're going more in a direction of being overly politically correct. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nowadays, because it's no longer a Easter holiday; it's a spring holiday. It's not Christmas break; it's a winter break.
Winter break.
You know, it's not Thanksgiving break; it's a November holiday. It's just like Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I feel what you mean. And then plus Redskins, it's like the way you're using it is like strong. We're the Redskins. It's
yeah,
like,
we're
it's
warriors.
Not like you're talking down.
We don't. Right. We're empowering.
Yeah,
it's an empowerment thing. We're like warriors who won't stop until we win.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
I feel you.
Now we're they're
just, well. So
they
much
should
for
have
that.
Paid you back for your ring, dude.
They so should. I should. That. I should go take my ring to Lamar and be like, "Yo, put the. I don't even want the Texans logo.
Just pay
on
me
there.
Back for it.
Just pay me the money I'm worth.
Yeah,
or it's worth whatever.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey guys.
Yeah.
Are you ready for my news now?
Yeah. Let's hear it, Monty.
Okay. So a couple years back, I don't know. I don't have the exact amount of time, but
it's okay.
This woman named Juanetta Gibson.
Juanetta?
Juanetta Gibson.
She's, that's an unfortunate name.
Yeah, and guess what? She's not black either.
She's not?
What?
What?
She's a white girl.
Juanetta?
Juanetta.
What?
Oh my God, my name is Juanetta.
Oh, I guess I could see that. Oh, like, oh my God, Juanetta. Anyways.
Juanetta, stop it. it's so fetch, Juanetta.
Anyway, you can't sit with us. Juanetta Gibson accused a football star named Brian Banks of raping her.
Now, that's a good name. Byron Banks.
Brian.
Brian
Banks.
That's even better. Brian Banks.
Yeah.
Banks.
And she accused him for raping her, and it came out that she falsely accused him. The judge ordered her to pay Banks $2.6 million for ruining his life with false allegations. The lies caused him to lose numerous scholarships. He also you know, was in prison for a couple of years, I think over 5 years, or he was sentenced over 5 years. And then she also sued the school district and received $1.5 million. The conviction was overturned, and now she owes that school district $750,000. And then plus attorney fees and so on, which is $1 million. So she's coming off some money for falsely raping.
First of all,
falsely accusing.
Who is this woman and how does she have all this money to pay?
Well, she won.
She won a rape case or something?
She got money from it still, even from the school district. That's what I was
saying. Oh, okay. Okay. So she owes all this money. All the money she won, she pretty much owes back.
Exactly.
But she
owes even more because back because she's got to pay him $2.5 million.
Exactly.
That's what you get when you cry rape.
Yeah. Why would you lie about something like that? I am so sensitive to that topic. Like,
here's the thing. I think rapes are really like really. It is a sensitive topic
overall. It's
an awful thing.
Right.
Here's the thing, though. I think, and I probably get flack for this. I think some women, not all. It's never all anything. All right.
Right.
Some there's a small group of women who think if they either cry rape. Right, then it's probably like they're in a relationship.
Yeah,
they cry rape because the relationship ends. Right. They're heartbroken. Cry rape. He gets gets in trouble. That's how you get back. The other one is the other crazy woman who thinks if I tell him that I'm pregnant, he's going to stay with me.
Yeah.
What is this about? What is with these small portions of
these
women,
are
Monty?
Insecure women. These are insecure women.
You know what?
They have no lives, and they're very self centered as well because. If you obviously don't give a damn about somebody else's life by accusing rape on them, and then why would you scare somebody about pregnancy?
I mean, and if you get accused of rape, right? Even if and you don't do it, but you get guilty verdict or whatever happened, right? I mean, yeah, I don't even know if $2.5 million pays back all that time people looked at me like a rapist.
You can't buy my time.
You can't buy how people are going to view me anyway. I mean, there's still going to be people that. Say, well, how'd he get himself in a predicament of being accused of rape anyway? You know what I'm saying? It's just
they had sex.
Yeah.
I mean, people do it every day. People are having sex.
Boning all the time.
The thing, and then this is the yep. whole. Oh, yeah. Did you have something to say, Motai? Because I saw you.
No, I was just saying these women are crazy.
Very. I wouldn't agree more. I mean,
I don't even know. Like, it's just like, to me, it's just how. It's just frustrating. It is frustrating,
and it's so easy for a woman to win those type of cases.
Because I think obviously everyone's always going to side with the woman. You know what I mean? Like why would she?
Well, they're
going to
side with the victim in those type of cases, whether it's a woman or a guy. Because you know, we all know that Michael Jackson was accused for raping a little boy,
molestation,
and for raping him.
Okay.
And when he died, that little boy comes out and he's grown now, and admits that it was a lie, and his dad made him do it for money. And the thing is, yeah, and Michael Jackson lost that case because he was the victim. My thing is, this type of, it makes me want to just cuss and, these type of things happen to people. They do get raped, but I hate how people take advantage of these situations.
And real quick, I think rape, because we're almost out of time, but I think rape is one of those words also that's thrown around way too loosely.
Way too
loosely.
It was
like, oh man, I just got raped by the IRS.
Yeah,
so I got
I
raped.
Hate that.
I got raped. Ugh,
I hate that. Don't play with the word rape, people. Please. Yeah.
Because if you say it so much, it's going to start losing its value.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Not that it's a valuable word. I mean, it's like meaning. It's force. It's power.
The value.
And it needs to stop.
I didn't mean value.
We need to tell the horn dogs to chill and stop raping people.
And don't cry rape. But anyway, I also want to make an announcement that the Brad Gilmore Show Classics and Extras and the Fake Monday Mornings channel has been reclaimed, renamed again as the Brad Gilmore Show Archive. Peaches is going to come back. We're going to talk about old interviews, past episodes, and all that goodness. So if you're interested, go over to iTunes, hit the subscribe button, and check out the Brad Gilmore Show Archived. Oh, man, I got to come up with something for that now.
Archived.
Archived.
It sounds the same, guys. Sorry.
I know. We need something better. We'll think of it. All anyway, that's been the news.
With Ashley Imani.
Hey guys, DJ Motai here. The pan-fried DJ Motai on the Brad Gilmore Show On Demand. I gotta tell y'all something. This is horrible. This is despicable. No one's trying to steal the moon or, you know, any pyramids or anything. But they're trying to shut down podcasts. We can't let that happen. They're from East Texas, I believe. But, you know what? We're gonna try to stop this. And what you can do to help us out is go to the Podcast Legal Defense Fund at fundanything.com/patent trolls. Help us out. Yeah.
It's the OG Thug Oracle herself. Checking in for the 99 and 2000. No. This is Peaches, and I'm here to tell y'all to tune in to the Brad Gilmore Show archive. You know, I guess they missed me a little bit. So, you know, boys about to be back in action, discussing some new things on some old things at the same time. So make sure y'all subscribe on iTunes. That's the Brad Gilmore Show archived.
All right, we're back here, week number two. We brought him back. I had to cut him off. He was talking so much, but he was saying so much good stuff.
Right.
We have him back here in the studio. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back Mr. Key West.
Hey!
How you doing this week,
I'm
man?
Good. Let me give myself a round of applause.
Round of applause.
Round of applause for myself,
I'll add one in post.
Now, look, I talk a lot because that's what I do for a living.
Hey,
you know
I feel
mean?
You. Hey, me too, man.
That's what you do too, right?
This is what I do too.
People pay me to talk like this. You
hey.
Know? So, hey, people pay you to talk like that too.
This
so,
is
hey,
why
that's
we
how
do
it works.
It. This is how I do it. Well, when you were here last week, we stopped you. On you just made it here. You were in the Bay Area, went through all this struggle being a promotions guy, booking limos, booking party buses, booking tables.
It was
you
real.
Were, you had a terrible show, your first time out on radio.
Terrible.
Then you come back for your second show, and you happen to have the night that Chris Brown hit Rihanna. And there went it exploded
Boom.
From there. You owe your career to Chris Brown.
I do, man. Thank you. I owe my career to Chris Brown.
Thank Brown's. You for
hitting Rihanna. Thank right? you. I don't know if it's dedicated to Chris Brown's arm or hand or Rihanna's face. One of the two.
One of the two is the reason you're here. But nonetheless, you're back here. So you just said
you sent
your air check over to Colorado, Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
They said, you're awesome. You're the best. Jay Chris, you're the best we've ever heard.
Yeah.
But we already gave the job away.
Yeah.
You should apply to Houston. And then you hopped on a plane. Y'all set it up.
Set it
up.
And
you met with the program director. So start from there.
Okay. So I get on the plane. I'm like, yo, this is the coolest shit ever. They're flying me to Texas so they can hear me on the radio. A little part-time job from San Francisco. Yes.
You kind of feel like the biggest celebrity ever.
Oh, man, I felt like a rock star, baby. Like, I was in there. And I remember the first time I got to Texas, it was hot as shit. And I wasn't expecting this at all. So I get off the plane. I'm just like immediately start sweating because I'm like, I'm dressed in black, you know, pants. I have no idea how to dress for Texas. Black hat, you know, and it's hot. They pick me up. I go and meet the program director, you know, Terry Thomas, my current program director. We chop it up, and it's cool. It's just all love. And these people just are genuinely good people. And it was nice to be received like that because I was always looked at kind of like the, you know, the sixth man or like the little kid, little brother type thing, you know. Like I was never looked at as the man, you know.
Yeah.
And it was funny because as soon as I got off the elevator, the first person I saw who got off that, I kid you not, I get off the elevator, the first person I see, Juvenile.
What?
I'm like, what up, Wally, baby? Nah, I didn't know the legal at the time, but yeah, I wish I would have told him that. I was like, is that Juvenile? That's Juvenile. He's like, oh, what up, Wally? And I'm like, hey, man, Juvie, let's get a picture, man. So I get a picture with Juvie. All right, so that was cool. That was cool off the bat.
Yeah. Around what year was this?
This was in 2010. This was September 2010.
Okay.
Actually, this was the summer 2010. And this was just me just filling it out. I get off the plane. I meet Juvie, random. And then we go and meet the program director, and I meet JQ, my music director, and it's cool. It's all love, man. They just good people. They show me a good time. They take me to Papado's, of course. You know, that's what you
do. That's the first thing you got to do. Why is that? Why is that it? Because we had Kai Meyer on here, and we were talking to her.
Yeah,
I was like, what's the first thing that they did when you got to Houston? Oh, they took me to Papado's.
You
got to
take them to Papado's. That's how you do it. It's like they don't want to go too over the top and take you to something like, you know, too fancy, like Eddie V's or something. They got an easy win. So they're like, well, you know, Papado's is convenient. It's nice, but not too nice. Let's go to Papado's. And it's cool that, you know, you're introduced to the culture of Texas in the South. So we go there. We have some alligator and stuff like that. I'm
That's
like,
right.
What the hell is alligator? What?
You can eat this?
And this is for me. Like, this is somebody that was, like, broke as hell at the time. Like, I was surviving off spaghetti. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, you know, I was just the bare
top ramen.
Top ramen, you know, like just turkey sandwiches, you know what I mean? Like just the bare fundamentals. So I mean this nice meal. Like I'm just like, this is awesome. So we talk, and you know, I have an audition, I do my show. And I think I was out here for about 3 days. Two or 3 days. And
when you landed in Houston though, would you fly into Intercontinental, Bush Intercontinental?
Yeah, I flew into Bush, and my mind was blown because I couldn't believe they named the airport after George fucking Bush. I said, look, if you put this in California, this is going to be a riot. You can't name him. What? You named the airport after this man? And then I found that was Pops, and I get some more understanding about it. But I'm like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, man, I must be in the South. The South South.
This is the dirty South.
This is the dirty South where they got something named after George freaking Bush. So anyways, we did that for about 3 days. And after that 3 days, what was that? Is that me?
Yeah.
What was I doing? Is that someone playing on my phone?
Is that your phone?
Yeah. Oh, I was my Instagram started playing. It started playing that the Thunder Buddies. The
okay, yeah, you know, yeah, yeah. I was like, what is that?
Thunder Buddies.
Don't you get too scared.
Like, yeah. Where is that? Follow me from? On Instagram at QUI West. Anyway.
There you go.
what the hell? That was random. So yeah, anyways, man, I did that for about 3 days. I never had the intention of taking the job in Houston. Never.
You just wanted to fly out. I just kind of get a feel of it. Yeah. You know, get your name out there a little more, maybe.
And... Absolutely. I just wanted experience. I'm like, yo, they're gonna fly me to another state to hear me on the radio. Hell yeah, man. But I'm not taking the job.
Yeah. I'm not leaving the Bay.
I'm not leaving the Bay.
Yeah.
So I even when I left, I was like, it was a cool experience, but I had no intention of taking the job.
Yeah.
I knew they wanted me. Anyways, it was about 2 months before I got into the call. And I had time to think about it, thought about it. And then my program director was like, man, if they offer you a job, you got to take it, bro. He basically put it to me like this. He said, look, man, you can be here for another 2 years. Let's fast forward another 2 years from now. Let's say you stay. I don't fire anybody. What have you really accomplished? You might sound a little bit better. Okay, great. But another 2 years, if you take the job, one, financially it's better. Two, now you have full-time experience. Now, full-time experience is very valuable in radio. And he's like, you're going to accomplish so much more in that 2 years compared to just staying here. And he's like, I left. Because my program director, my first one, he left for 10 years to Colorado and came back. And so I was like, you know what? I guess you got a good point. And I was struggling in the Bay. Oh, my God. I was living literally dollar to dollar.
Yeah, paycheck to paycheck, man.
I was living in the hood. You know what I mean? Like, it just was not cool. Like, I was just, you know, like, it just, my living situation was no good. And I knew I couldn't be good to anybody else because I wasn't good for myself.
Yeah.
So I made up my mind at the time, about a month and a half in, I was like, look, if they call me, I'm going to take the job. They call me. They go, hey, all right. So, well, you know, we made a decision and we want you to come to Houston. What do you think? Let's go.
Let's do it.
3 weeks later, I moved here.
And then you came to Houston.
So then,
okay, you already had the Papados experience, right?
I did.
And so that's our check.
Yeah.
Check that off.
Done.
So you're back here in Houston, though, but what are you, like, when you're driving around the city for the first time, you're really taking it all in. What are you thinking? What's going through your head?
The first day that I moved here was crazy because it was raining its ass off, but it was 90 degrees.
Oh, that's a worse.
And I've never experienced that in my life. I had the AC. I get in with my dad, and we had the AC on full blast, but the windshield wipers on full blast. We're like, this shit is crazy. I don't understand. Like, what is going on? I don't know whether to sweat or get an umbrella. Like, what? I don't know what to wear. I'm in shorts, but I'm cold and it's raining. Yeah, so it's real confusing, man. So I get here and, like, the first thing they wanted me to do was, like, because I never really even – this Texas was the farthest I've ever been from home at the time.
Yeah.
And they wanted me to just experience Houston. So they fed me a lot. A lot. They took me to every single food spot imaginable.
So name them. Where'd you go? You went to Papado's.
I went to Papado's. Obviously, I went to Frenchie's. I did a Frenchie's tour. I went to like every hood in Frenchie's. Did the Chimichans. I went to this place on the north side called Beef and Buns.
I haven't been to Beef and Buns.
I've heard of that.
It's in the hood on the north side. Man. It was Beef and Buns. I don't know. It's some random places, man. They like took me just about anywhere that you can eat that was in the hood.
Yeah. Okay.
I did a hood tour.
You did a hood tour.
But the hood's out, you know, they got the best food out there in the hood. So, you know, I went to a bunch of random spots. All I just remember was eating and drinking my ass off for like the first 6 months that I was here because they wanted me to be out too. So it was like, all right, we got to go this party. And I'm just drinking, eating. It was probably the most unhealthiest time of my life for 6 months in H-Town. And I was out so much that like every week I would lose my voice. Like every Friday and Saturday, I had like no voice.
Oh, wow.
And I look back now like as how I sounded 3 years ago, and I'm like, damn, I really was not that good, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You're probably your
hardest critic, probably.
Maybe. I got me the job. When I listen to it now, I'm like, this sounds terrible.
They hired you on this?
They gave me a job for this shit? So anyways, yeah, it was, when I got here, man, it was just really about just experiencing the culture. You know, I mean, that's just one thing is the food, the drinks, the women, you know what I mean? It's, you know, it's different. And I went from being in top 40 to hip hop. That's night and day. That's, you know, that's Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, Flo Rida, you know, White, a little bit of Latin.
Yeah.
This was all, this is urban, this is, you know, African American, this is like hip hop, ratchet, there's like, it's strip clubs, it's a whole different beast. Like strip clubs, I didn't even really, like strip clubs are like a, not even a scene I even thought of before.
Yeah.
And it's a lifestyle out here. I'm like, yeah, you gotta go to the strip clubs and eat. I didn't know food at the strip clubs.
Oh man.
That was like, that, I didn't know at the time, like the food was so good at the strip clubs out here. Like, they're like, yeah, man, you gotta go and have some chicken at the strip club. I'm like, oh, I don't want to get pink. I'm not going to eat chicken at the strip club.
Man, the first time I ever went to a strip club, man, I walk in, there's a huge buffet line. There's a bunch of dudes eating wings and playing Xbox. And I'm like, but the women are right here. What are you doing? They're not even looking at the women. They're more interested in the buffet line and Xbox.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. It's a lifestyle, man. It's like when I came out here, they told me that there was a steak and a dance for $9.99 somewhere. And I was like, I want to go to the Steak and the Dance for $9.99, man. Where's that at? I never did find that place. I think somebody just made that up.
They
for
sure made that up.
But that's how it is, man. They don't, you know, it's a lifestyle thing for hip hop, man. Like, you go to the strip club and it's like to just, you know, to kick it and eat. And if you got time, throw some ones. And if you really want to show out, then you'll throw a lot of ones. You know what I mean? It's just, but it's a hangout spot. Like, people go out here, they're like, hey, let's go have coffee at the strip club. You know, like, coffee break at the strip club?
We'll have tea time, you know, at the strip club. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can't have coffee without seeing some ass, you know what I mean? So it was it was really different out here in the South, man, but not in the bad different. It just was different from the West Coast. And you miss home. Like, whenever you leave the state, you miss home for the first couple months. But after that, you less and less you miss home. You're just like,
right.
I haven't been home in about a year now, but I don't miss it. You know, like for me, it's like if I take trips, I go to trips that are, you know, like Vegas, LA, like something either fun or productive. When I go home, it's more like family time and I'm just kicking it. So less and less you miss home. But at first you're like, man, I'm fucking lonely.
Yeah, I have no friends.
I have no friends. Nobody knows who I am. You know, people.
All I've done so far is go to Papado's and drink coffee at a strip club. Yeah.
And you're used to being on the radio and you're like, yo, you're going to your spots and like, hey, this is who I am. What's up? I need to get in. You come out here like, hey, this is who I am. Who the fuck is that? You ain't getting in, bro.
You're not Mad Hatter.
Yeah, you ain't. You don't work for the box. I never heard of you. I was like, oh, damn, man. So you really got to start all the way over. And my name was Key West now.
Yeah.
And Key West came from my program director at the time because I told him, you know, hey, my name is Jay Chris. He said, well, you ain't using that name, buddy.
Yeah.
That's too common. They wanted something unique.
So he came up with Key West or you did?
My program director, Terry Thomas, came up with the name Key West. It was my last name is Key Les. Mm-hmm. So she took the Q-U-I for my last name, made that my first name, and then she said, West, okay, because you're from the West Coast, Key West. And when I originally heard it, I was like, oh, no, please, no, not that name. Oh, my God. And she was like, yeah, that's the name. And I remember asking her one time before I signed the contract, I was like, does that really have to be my name? Well, you don't have to sign the contract. Okay, Key West it is.
Key West, I can do that. That's fine. Dotted line where? Okay.
I've gotten used to it now. But before it was like, it was really, really different for me, you know, and so I'm going by this other name now. I'm completely this other person. It's like the next chapter in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, man, I've been doing it ever since then for about 3.5 years now, man.
Now, so you're at the box, and you probably didn't know, but you're coming in here to Houston, and the box is looked at like this sacred thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's how we had DJ DMD in here, and he told me the story of, like, 25 Lighters and how it got played for the first time by accident on 97.9.
Yeah.
It's just there's so many stories like that from the box.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
a lot of history.
And there's a lot of stuff you probably had to learn, too, about the hip-hop in Houston.
Yeah. You better believe it, man. I had to learn everybody.
The first time you heard screw, were you just like, why is this a thing?
No, yeah, I totally understood it. But for me, like, screw for me from the get, I respect it, but I don't get it. And I'm probably not a fan of it because it's not who I am because it's Houston's thing, man. It makes them feel like this is ours. We've had a moment where we were listening to screw when we were kids. I didn't have those moments.
Yeah.
So I can never really understand screw.
Fully relate to it.
I totally respect it because it's part of the heritage and it's something that belongs just to H-Town. And for me, I respect it, but I'm like, I don't get it. Like, and I've never sipped before, so I'm just like, I really don't get it. I'm like, okay, maybe if I got a little cup in my hand, you know what I mean? And, you know, I'm chilling, you know what I mean? I'm in my zone. Maybe I might like it a little bit more. But I've never sipped. You know, I'm not from H-Town, so I don't feel it the way people feel it out here. Because when you play screw out here, there's like, oh my God, you guys are jamming. Oh my God. And we just play one song. You know?
Yeah.
We play the same song. Well, it's June 27th. We'll play June 27th more. And that's not a true chop and screw song, but it's slowed down.
Yeah.
We'll play that for 10 minutes and they'll think you're the greatest DJ alive.
Oh man. There's a few go tos, and I'm sure Motai, as a DJ, you know, like if you play Mo City Dawn, it's over.
Oh, it's
you
over.
Shut
it's
the whole party down.
I just played one song.
It's a rap. Tops Drop, Southside, man. You played a lot of these songs, man. It's going down, man. Me personally, I like the Wasp Nest, the the what's it? What's the wasness? It's Deuce Out the Roof.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I like the I'm a player, I'm a player, I'm a player. I forgot. I always forget the guy's name.
My favorite Houston song that doesn't get played as much anymore is Down South. Do you remember Down South?
Down South, where I stay.
Yeah,
but you're just saying that because you know had a song. But I appreciate that.
Now, hey, I like that record.
No, dude, that's Slim one of my favorite records, dude. Yeah. That's a classic. It's a 5-minute record. It's Slim. It's Youngster. It's a young Slim too.
Yeah.
It's Hatta, who was Mr. Mad at the time, man. And it's just a dope track. It's a dope H-Town track. It makes you feel good. And the thing is, when I was learning about old school H-Town, I was like a real fan of old school H-Town because it made you feel good.
Yeah.
It was upbeat, and it just made you feel good. It made you feel like you wanted to go out and have fun. It was fun music, you know what I mean? But it's H-Town, and it was kind of like you wanted to either go riding, or you want to go party, you want to have a good time. And yeah, man, like old school H-Town is great, man. It's some of my favorite music. I might even like old school H-Town as much as I like old school Bay Area music.
Wow.
It's that close,
cause,
man.
Because I mean, it does make you feel good. And then you go, probably had to learn the Paul Wall, the Slim Thug, the Chameleonaire,
I had
Mike
to learn
Jones.
Everybody, man. Like, I wasn't paying attention to nobody at the time. And, like, especially, like, the regional artists for Texas. I just wasn't, you know, because I was all about West Coast. And, you know, so the old school stuff was one challenge. And then the other challenge was getting on, you know, I didn't even know Paul Slim and Mike Jones and Cam and all them were still doing it like that. Yeah. I just didn't know. I didn't pay attention. And especially being on the West Coast, you just don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when I found out they were still making music, they were doing stuff, man, I was like, yo, like, it's crazy. When people come from the West Coast, first time in Texas, and you see Paul Wall, that's a big deal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're like, oh, that's Paul Wall, man. And then you're like, at the same time, also when you meet, like, Chameleonaire. Like, Chameleonaire was a big deal on the West Coast. And to meet Cam was like, yo, this is Cam, dude. Are you serious? Like, he was a big dude coming up on the West Coast in the 06, 07, 08. Like,
yeah.
So you meet these guys. It's a big deal. The first interview I did at the Box was with Slim. And I remember they were like, okay, well, you're new to the city, so we're going to have Walter D sit in the studio with you just in case. Walter D's, you know, obviously our legendary mixer.
Yeah.
And just in case, you know, because you and Slim. And I was like, damn, what was Slim that? Wait, is he going to do something? Am I not supposed to ask him something? Anyways, yeah, I must have been like, it's 2 months in. And, you know, Slim Thug's my first real interview out here in H-Town. And he was just cool from the get, man. He was, you know, didn't judge me, no bias or anything like that. Just really showed me love. And it was cool, man. And, you know, Slim's still the homie to this day. But same thing with a lot of artists out here, that they show love, man. Even if you're not from Texas, they show you love, man. They show you the respect that you deserve and that they would want for themselves. And that's what I really appreciate out here with the artists from Texas, man. They've really brought me in, and they've really just, you know, shown me a lot of love and a lot of respect, man. And it's not something that they had to give me, because they've more than earned it for themselves.
I do have to say that about Slim, because I think, you know, because we started doing online radio, like, you know, 2-3 years ago, and Slim was our first big name interview, you know.
Yeah, I remember that day.
And he comes into the studio, and I'm just like, oh, Slim Thug.
I met
Slim Thug like once before. It was like at a B.O.B. concert, like randomly at the House of Blues. So it's like, I was like, oh man, Slim Thug, I don't know. Yeah. And he just put his book out, right? How to Survive in a Recession.
Right. And you know what? He gave me that book, and you know what he said? He said something like, he said, fuck you, Key West, and your bitch ass name, or something like that. But he was just fucking with it. I'm like, oh, thanks a lot, Slim. Appreciate that. Because he signed book, he's like, fuck you, Key West, and your bitch ass name. I'm like, oh shit, man. I'm gonna get you back for that one, son.
Oh, man, that sounds like some Slim stuff to do.
It sounds like some Slim
stuff.
Weird.
It's just weird. You know, you sit down, you talk to him for a little while, and you realize he's probably one of the more humble guys.
He is, yeah.
Yep.
Ever in the show business. Yeah. He's just so grateful for his opportunities that he's gotten in life. And, you know, and then, you know, you leave thinking that you're like best friends with the guy after work, because, you know, he's just so personable.
Cool, yeah, he is. And you know what? It goes a long way, man. Like, people forget, like, we get artists that come in town sometimes, like the bigger names, like national artists and so forth, and they come in and they just, either the one, they're too leaned out, I don't know, because as soon as they get off the plane, they want the cup.
Yeah.
But, or they just don't have the respect for people that they forget.
Yeah.
They just forget, because they're used to talking to such big people. And when they come here, they forget that, look, you're talking to the entire city. You're not just talking to me, just the jock. You're talking to the entire city, man. You need to show
respect.
It's a big deal. Right, you're talking to your fans, man. You know what? Look, if you're in a bad mood or you had a bad day, don't take it out on everybody else. Okay, maybe you can take it out on me because it's just me and I can really care less. Don't take it out on your fans and give a terrible interview, man, and just be mumbling the whole time. Like, people forget that, man.
Yeah, is there anybody who sticks out in your mind? I don't want you to throw anyone under the bus too much, but is there anyone who's just like, I don't care, this guy sucked at the interview?
Yeah, it was probably, there's a couple of those guys. Probably like Wale.
Yeah.
You know, 2 Chainz. 2 Chainz, man.
Oh man.
You know, YG's cool, but like I think he just gets a little too leaned out as soon as he gets to H-Town too many times.
Yeah,
man.
I think he mumbles anyway though.
Yeah, it's a I'm like, I can't hear you, bro. Like you gotta speak louder, man. Like, but you know, I'm a big fan of his music. So I mean, it's granted we don't know what these guys are going through throughout the day. I'm sure they're tired from touring and so forth.
Yeah,
but
flying and
come on, man. You asked for this lifestyle though, man. You know, and you see it from the artists that are from here in Texas who are really seriously grinding independently. They appreciate that, man. They know right. that it counts to talk to these people and to show them respect because they're going to show you respect in the long run. You know, Slim comes to the radio station, you can't just be like, hey, I'm Slim Thug, bitch. He's going to be like, you know, he's going to show respect. Because
yeah, he's going to shake hands. He's going to say what's
it's
up.
It's going to benefit him in the long run. You know what I mean? As it would for anybody else. So I think artists sometimes forget that. But, you know, I try to be understanding and be like, well, maybe he's tired. Maybe he's on tour and he's in long. But, you know, like as entertainers, man, we always got to show respect to everybody, man, because everybody deserves it. And that's the respect we want.
One fan at a time. Everyone counts, right? And
everybody.
And here's the thing. So as an interviewer, though, and I know you've gotten them before, don't you hate it, though, when you're really excited about an interview, a guy's coming in and he sits down and you're like, oh, man, I'm ready. Y'all go on air. You start talking. And then you're like, wow, this guy's retarded. He can't answer a single question.
Yeah. You know what threw me off was with Floyd Mayweather night. Now, Floyd's not retarded, man. I totally got respect for Floyd. But it was funny because there's these drops that you got to do for the station. All right?
Yeah.
You know, hey, it's Floyd Mayweather. You're listening to 97.9 The Box. Well, I give him these drops, and I can't tell if he's fucking with me or not because he's reading the drops, but he can't read the drops. He's like,
what?
It's a boy. Flip 97.9 The Box. And he's every time he's struggling, he's looking back up at me, and I'm like, is he fucking with me, or is he just really can't read this shit? And he's like, and he does this several times. I'm like, okay, well, this is Floyd Mayweather. He's 30 deep in the studio with Money Team. I'm like, okay, Floyd, thank you. I was like, fuck, I'm not asking him to read anything else.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell was that about? Was he just fucking with me, or is this guy really serious? And I mean, sometimes like you get excited to interview somebody. It's not what you think, but you try to make the most of what you can out of it. You know what I mean? So if it's not, and I mean, like I've never had anybody treat me so bad where I'm just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not doing this interview. This is over.
Yeah.
Now old school cats like G-Man have had those situations because there was a lot less rules in radio at the time.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's not really just like, you know, they just might be. Oh, I did one. I know one off top, and it was one I didn't even plan for. It was at SF2, and Kevin Gates was there, and I never really met Kevin Gates before, and I knew a little bit about his music.
Yeah,
but it's just the guy was like, and I'm just doing this. They're like, Key West, can you do the interview? Just do it. I'm like, okay, I don't know shit about this dude. Okay, fine. So I'm talking with him, having a joke. And he's like, he's not laughing at anything. Like I'm,
yeah.
And I think it's funny. Yeah, but you think that's funny, man? But no, this is real, man. I'm like, yo, relax, bro. Like, what are you so serious about?
Yeah.
And he's not talking about going to jail and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, so but what do you do now to stay out of jail, man? And he's like, no, see, you're twisting my words around. That's not what I said. I'm like, yo, bro, relax, dog. It's good. Like, you ain't got to be a thug around me. It's cool. Yeah. I'm not judging you. So, like, sometimes you get these guys, you're just like, what the fuck just happened? But the thing is, like, they don't understand. When they do these bad interviews, it makes you less of a fan.
Yeah. It turns you off completely to them.
Yeah. Like, you might say, okay, look, I respect your music, but if you need my support, you ain't got it because I didn't get the same respect that I gave you. Because
you were pretty much a dick when I was trying to interview you.
Right, right. For no reason, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's not that serious, dog. Like, we're just having a conversation, man. This is what we do.
Who do you like to, you know, because when I first started interviewing people and started doing, you know, online radio and then podcasting, man, you kind of fall in love with the art form of it and talking and listening to people. Are there any guys who you kind of look up to as far as radio interviews?
Yeah. As far as radio interviews, you know, Satellite, actually, man. I like Satellite Radio a lot, too.
Stern. Are you a Stern fan?
Private Parts is probably my all-time
favorite
movie.
Oh, you just became my best friend, Key West. Private Parts is the greatest movie of all
time. I remember my dad taking me to see Private Parts at the age of 10. And if you haven't seen Private Parts, it's a lot of ass, titties, and profanity. And
Private Parts.
But it was like the one movie me and my dad could always watch over and over again, and it was just hilarious to us because it was a classic. I never thought I was going to do radio for a living.
Yeah.
Maybe that had something to do with it, but it was just, I just saw the motivation behind it where he had to move and, you know, his program director saying, you ain't shit, and then they take him to New York, and they're still trying to dick him, and it just, against all odds, he just makes it happen, man. So Howard Stern off top, he's the greatest of all time.
And when you listen to him, and when you listen to his interviews, you're just like, oh, wow, you don't realize how awesome he is at it and how he just gets it out of everybody just so quickly. And he pays attention to everything they say and pulls that detail.
And people forget that. It's one thing to be a radio personality or a TV personality. It's another thing to be an interviewer. And that's definitely an area I always feel like I needed to improve on.
Yeah.
Because it's a completely different beast. Like, I feel like I'm better at radio than some people, but some people are better at interviewing than me.
Yeah.
Like my big sister from San Francisco, Nessa, she works for MTV now, and she's just phenomenal at interviewing. Like, you know, I think radio-wise, like, I can hang with her radio-wise, but interviewing, man, she's just, like, phenomenal.
Yeah.
And, like, and she can do it live. She can do, you know, record it on the spot. No matter who it is, she's going to put down a dope interview. And I'm just like, God dang, how do you know when to ask, what to ask? It's so crucial, man. It's, like, the flow of the conversation. And she always makes the artist feel comfortable, man. It's, like, so people like that I really respect, man.
That's the biggest thing. And that's what I noticed with Stern, man. And, he just makes them feel comfortable. It's just, like, we're just talking. No one's listening.
We're chilling, man.
We're just talking.
And I'm sure they got a greater respect for him now. But, you know, before, man, he's been doing it for so long that, you know, he knows what to talk about, when to talk about it.
Yeah, and he knows when to back away. And, you know, another good interviewer who I like to listen to is probably a little older for most people, but Larry King is awesome at interviews.
Larry mother effing King, man.
That guy's...
You can't deny it, bro. He's been doing it for like 50 years.
He's awesome at radio interviews, man.
Barbara Walters, you know what I mean? If you really want to throw it back.
If you really want to go that way.
I would do it, you know, hey.
hey, smash your pass,
Brad,
right?
Brad, I know you would too, brother. Don't lie. You would take Barbara Walters down to the town.
Here's the thing. Someone actually asked me, Barbara Walters or Betty White? And I had to really think about it. Betty White, just for the story.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'd be making jokes the whole time I'm making love.
I think Betty White's a little more feisty in the bedroom, man.
Oh,
so I think,
most definitely.
Yeah, Betty White got some she got some spunk in her.
Who do you think? Do you think Barbara Bush? Barbara Bush or Laura Bush?
Well, Laura Bush is younger, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Like, I mean, Barbara's so old, man. It's like, you know, I might break her, you know what I mean?
But it's just like, oh, it's OG. Now, let me ask you this. We have a campaign.
Barbara's in a wheelchair now, too, right? Or is that George? I don't know, man.
George. I think George is in the wheelchair.
I never had wheelchair sex before, so maybe that might be different.
Hey,
I don't know.
There's a first time for everything.
First time.
Bucket list, right?
I might be into it. I don't know.
Papa Doe.
You know what? The hell with it, Barbara.
Wheelchair sex. Barbara. There we go. Now, here's the thing. Well, this is one interview we want to get before 2014 is over. We want to interview Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh.
All right, because she's done everything in this world. She's won an Emmy, an Oscar, a Grammy, and a Tony. We want to get Whoopi Goldberg. So will you join the hashtag We Want Whoopi campaign?
I mean, yeah, we want Whoopi. Yeah,
we want Whoopi for sure. All right, but now here's my question.
Whoopi,
Oprah or Whoopi, smash or pass?
Oprah.
Oprah all day, right?
Hands down. Come on. That's like smashing a piggy bank. Somebody said Whoopi. Whoopi got changed too, but I mean, come on, Whoopi.
Whoopi's got changed, but it's Oprah. We're talking Oprah.
Oh, come on, man. You're talking about one of the richest women in the world, man. Like, you're going to pass on Oprah? That's like passing on a check. You don't do that.
You don't pass on checks, man.
You hit it for the change, man, and for the resume, dude. You got to do Oprah, man. I ask rappers that all the time, too, and artists also. I'm like, you know, Oprah, would you hit it or quit it? And they're always like, hell yeah, Oprah. I'm like, I'm giving the business. It's like they've been waiting to
Everyone
do it.
Everyone wants Oprah, man. Everyone wants Oprah. Well, Key West, you said it all, man.
Yeah.
You've said it all. But we did talk before we went on air. You're thinking about starting a podcast.
I got to start a podcast, man. I want to do something just to feed my fans a little bit more. I want to do something like uncut, you know, because a lot of stuff on the radio that I don't get to talk about or a lot of things I don't get to say, you know what I mean? So it felt good today to go ahead and just
get all the stuff out.
The fuck shits, bitch, motherfuckers out the way, you know what I mean?
Before you go into work tonight.
Yeah, right, because people don't know. Like, I swear probably more than most people you know. People growing up called me the cuss kid. Like, I was
there
like,
you go.
I was a profanity all day. So, yeah, I want to start something uncut, man, where, you know, I can just kind of be me, you know. I don't, because I at the end of the day, I work in radio, I work in mainstream radio, and I work for a corporation. I can't just be saying those things, and there's certain things I got to say, you know, and there's certain views I need to have. So just to be uncut and just to get the audience to know the real Key West. Yeah.
Would you want to interview people, or you just want to talk on your own stuff?
I mean, you know, I would like to interview people, kind of like what you guys do here, man. I mean, to talk, maybe if there's something I feel really strongly about, obviously, as you can tell, I could probably talk 30 minutes straight, but if I feel something really, you know, I feel strong about a topic, maybe that. But at the same time, man, I want to bring people in and have these real conversations and not these just like on air, like, hey, how's the album, dude? And
when's it drop?
You know, I want to get into the juice, you know what I mean? I want to get into the meat and I want to get into the real conversations and really tell people how I feel about things and not have to say, well, second guess myself, like, oh, man, well, what if this audience is listening right now? Because, you know, we got different audiences that listen at different times, you know? I can't talk about what happens in the club at 5 o'clock in the afternoon or 7 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
You just can't. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's certain things you got to think about.
You got to time it out. Now, let me ask you this. Now, I was talking to somebody on my way up here. We were having a nice phone conversation. I was like, I'm interviewing Key West again today. Yeah. You know, week two. What do you want me to ask?
Yeah.
This is what she said. She said, I would really love to know his opinion and his reaction to when 93.7 The Beat debuted. What'd you think?
Well, you know, it's not the first time I've had competition before, man.
Yeah.
They've had it before in San Francisco. And for me, like, what competition does is that it just raises your game, man. It keeps you on point.
You run faster when someone's chasing you?
You do. I mean, you definitely do. You know, I feel like it's opened up a lot of doors for me just having competition. You know, now we're doing a newish 9, and we're able to break records now.
Yeah.
And we're able to have a little bit more flexibility. Now my countdown, instead of 5 songs, is 8 songs. I just feel like it's just better to have competition altogether. And people, like, you know, when you have competition, they're just like, well, you got to hate each other. You know, you got to. And that's not true, man, because this is a business, and we, you know, they're trying to get a check. I'm trying to get a check. We're just in the same field, just with different teams. It's not like Kobe and LeBron James hate each other.
Yeah.
You know, they're homies, but when they compete against each other, they're trying to win. And that's what I'm trying to do. Well, you know, I got respect for whoever, you know, wants to compete against me or who was at a rival station, but I'm going to try to win every time. But when I see people that I work against outside of radio, it's going to be respect.
Yeah, it's love.
Yeah.
Even though, like, I remember hearing the announcement, 937 The Beat, it's a new hip-hop R&B station. I'm like, whoa, that's crazy, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I turn it to the first time, I turn my dial, you know, and I rarely get to have a chance just to listen to radio that much, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, when I do, you know, I like to really, because I'm in love with radio, I love the art form of it, you know, why I have a podcast, you know what I'm saying? And we've talked about radio, I think, before.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, but the first thing I hear, literally as I tune it on, is, this is 93.7 The Beat. Think outside the box.
And you know, it's funny because it's not the first time anybody has taken shots. I remember I was in San Francisco. I was at, like, the box version of San Francisco.
Yeah.
And a news station came along. And they were saying all kinds of stuff. And it was worse over there.
Yeah.
Because they had, that's not like the station here brought everybody from the box and started their station. The station in San Francisco that was our rival, they brought everybody that got fired and started a new station.
Oh, okay. So it was like, they were taking, like, it personal. An axe to grind, yeah.
It was personal shots being taken, man. So that might have been a different story. Here, it's not so much like that. It's really, you know, and people forget
spirit of competition, not so much vindictive.
I mean, this is a corporate business, man.
Yeah.
It's not like another station was created here because, oh, you know, we just don't like the box, or we feel like, you know, Houston's underserved in hip hop. It's a money thing, man. It's a corporate thing. And that's, you know, people forget that. They're like, people want to take it so personal.
Yeah.
And it's not really personal. It's business at the end of the day, man. And all I can do is just do me to the best of my ability. And when you have competition, it fuels you to do that a little bit more. It keeps you hungry. So honestly, I like it.
I like
the competition.
Yeah.
I do.
I mean, like, you know, I come from, you know, the sports entertainment pro wrestling world as well. And Booker T, the guy I work for, you know, he was part of WCW when there was WWF, right? And I talked to him all the time. He's like, man, I wish there was still two companies so that, you know, we could, because it pushes the envelope creatively.
It does.
And
it
you know, it just makes you work a little harder.
And the artists win.
Yeah.
You know,
and everyone
wins
that way. Yeah.
And
the fans win.
Fans win. The artist wins. Everybody wins. The only people that take the hard time is us, the personalities.
Yeah.
And that's okay. We'll take that. I'll take that responsibility. I might get a little bit more heat at work, but because there's more pressure, but that's fine. I have to be the best that I can be.
Yeah.
And there's probably was a time where I didn't have direct competition, where I got real comfortable and it was just like easy for me after a while. It's just like too easy. And when it's too easy for you, you stop working.
Yeah.
And when you need to work, because this is, you got somebody right on top of you, like you got somebody that's after you and trying to get your check. It keeps you fueled and keeps you motivated, man. And it's honestly, man, this has been probably one of my favorite years of radio ever.
Look at that. Yeah. All because now you got that fire.
I got that fire.
You're now, running faster.
I'm kind of grateful because if I had competition years ago, I might not have been ready.
Yeah.
I might have been. It would have, because
now
change,
you got some years under you. You got
a couple
scars. You've been through it a little bit.
So, yeah, it's kind of like, you know what I mean? It's all respect. But at the end of the day, I'm always going to try to win.
Yeah.
Because I'm a competitor and I truly believe I'm a winner. And that's what I try to do, as anybody should do with any field of a line of work that they're in.
Yeah.
But it's always going to be respect. And it's never going to be personal, because I totally understand what this business is.
I feel that. Well, yeah. Key West, you've said it all. You've said it more than enough. You've said it.
said a lot, man.
You said it a lot. I appreciate you coming back again this week to do the show again.
Dude, thank you, man.
You can follow him on Twitter at Key West. That's Q-U-I
West. West. Yeah, Instagram. Snapchat, too. I just got on Snapchat, man. So, ladies, send me those dirty videos, dirty pics. I'm all for them. They'll be deleted. I promise. I have no choice in that. And shout out to you, Brad. Real talk, man. Yeah, I've told you several times, man. You're a good young talent, man. I see a lot of potential in you, man. See you like kind of being that next kind of Ryan Seacrest, maybe like, you know, Jimmy Fallon type of character. So you got a really bright future ahead of you, man. I'm not sure if it's here in Texas. Maybe it will be. Maybe it's somewhere greater, man. But you got a lot of potential.
Maybe I'll go to the Bay Area.
Man, no, you don't need to go to the Bay. Man, you need to go somewhere bigger than the Bay, man. You got better potential than the Bay Area, man.
I appreciate that, man. That means a lot. So Motai, any closing words, man?
Motai.
Pan Fried DJ is hungry.
All right, so we're going to feed Motai. T-West, I appreciate you, man.
It's all good, Pimpin'. Thank you, man.
Y'all tune in next week. Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe on iTunes and add us to your playlist on Stitcher Radio. Come tune in next week.